good evening, everyone, or good morning, or good afternoon, depending upon where you are on this rotating globe. Welcome to the other side of midnight, that magical time between dusk and dawn when, you know, the stuff you just bypass during daytime and say, ah, come on, give me a break. At this time of night, it was traditional up until a couple of years ago to say that we would talk about things at this time of night that you couldn't really discuss in polite society in daytime when the sun was up. Now, of course, that whole model is chucked into an old cocked hat because weirdness is going on around us 24/7. And folks, it may not be decelerating. It may actually be accelerating over the next few days or weeks or even months, because what we're trying to do is we're trying to match the curves of public discourse, the stuff going on, social chatter, social media, you know, news, main news folks and all that, with this model that we have that cyclically on this planet, we go through periods where the background physics, the literal etheric torsion field, hyperdimensional model of reality that we've been trying to put together for 30 some years, comes to a peak, kind of, you know, rings everybody's chimes. I mean, I've said over and over and over again, just look around you, the good are getting better and the bad are getting worse. Well, we don't want that. We don't want to see bad get worse. But if you look around, there is certainly a panoply of all kinds of social behaviors. Well, tonight we're going to talk about something that kind of will connect these dots, will provide some interstitial glue for this model. Because remember, up until relatively recently, these kinds of discussions were dismissed by a lot of folks, most folks, as, oh, that New Age nonsense, that you know, hippie stuff. Not anymore, because we've got measurements. Let me introduce my first guest and second guest for the first half hour, because Clyde's going to have to leave us. But Sam is with us for the entire morning, next 3 hours. Dr. Sam Osmanogic is a Bosnian-born Houston, USA resident, author, researcher, and businessman. He discovered an ancient pyramid complex in Visoko, Bosnia-Herzegovina, consisting to date of 11 artificial structures kind of masquerading as ancient eroded hills. These are, in no order of particular importance, the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun, the Bosnian Pyramid of the Moon, the Bosnian Pyramid of Love, the Bosnian Pyramid of the Dragon, the Temple of Mother Earth, Vranica Tumulus, Dolovi Tumulus, Genji Tumulus, the KT Cake Tunnels, the Underground Labyrinth of Ravne, and Ravne II Tunnels as well. When Sam found this amazing complex, and I'm not going to get into the nitty-gritty because we have limited time and I want to get right to what we're going to talk about, which is these amazing new measurements, which was, you know, many, many years ago. Of course, nobody believed him. And Sam has created an archaeological park with the aegis of the Bosnian government, which basically has carved out a preserve there in Bosnia to do something that most citizens cannot do reliably with acceptance almost anywhere else in the world. And that is create a milieu for citizen science, where folks with bright ideas and good logical reasoning can propose to Sam that with that pyramid or pyramid complex under his purview, he can conduct scientific experiments that would never be imagined by the mainstream. So in that context, a couple weeks ago, actually less than that, maybe a week ago, some really crazy guy came to Sam with a really harebrained notion. What if you wired the pyramid during the eclipse, tried to measure what's going on with that weird radio beam sticking out the top and aimed up into outer space 24/7? And what if you, during the eclipse, got different results than when the moon is not eclipsed? And lo and behold, last night on the 27th of July of 2018, after a Herculean, you know, several days effort, as Dr. Osmanogic is going to report in the next few minutes, amazingly interesting results were recorded during the eclipse at the Bosnian ancient mega pyramid. And we will be discussing those preliminary results in a moment. Also joining us on the air, because I actually teased some of this on his show last night, is my old friend Clyde Lewis. Clyde is an interest in things that go bump in the night, like I do. And this is one of those things where it literally could go bump in the night. So we were discussing what would be the social implications if Sam's measurements turned out positive, if we could establish an actual energetic, unique link between that massive pyramid in Bosnia and the moon, 239,000 miles away. And lo and behold, well, anyway, let's you know, enough of this teasing. Dr. Osmanagic, you're on the air. What did you hear last night?
Well, first of all, good morning from Bosnia. It is 6 a.m. in southern Europe. I'm very happy to join you again, Richard. And I'm glad that you were the one who a week ago asked me to do some measurements during the moon eclipse. Obviously, it was a very important astronomical event. As we explained our listeners during the last couple of shows, what we have in the heart of Bosnia is a huge pyramid complex that really acts as a huge energy machine. We have proven during the last 13 years that the ancient builders were applying the elements of sacred geometry, using pyramids as the most powerful geometrical shape when it comes to the energy, to create machines that's been working for, according to the radiocarbon dating, for 29,200 years. So the good thing about this project is that it is run by the non-profit, non-government foundation. So instead of like Egyptian pyramids being jealously guarded by archaeologists, we've been applying interdisciplinary scientific knowledge, and we've been encouraging scientists from different disciplines to come to join us, to test, to measure, to analyze, to date. So just a few days back, actually, Monday back, we've done measurements with our team of electrical engineers. And the head of the team was engineer Goran Marjanovic from Belgrade, Serbia. And he's been doing measurements since 2010. And what we did on your website, we are giving the list of the equipment and instruments that we use during the measurement.
Okay, hold it there. We tell everybody to go to the other side of midnight.com. When you get there, click on tonight's graphic for Dr. Osmanagic, the pyramid with the beam, you know, exiting the top. That will take you to the guest page. Scroll down till you get to Dr. Sam's items. And there is a series of images. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There are images showing what you guys were doing last night on the apex, measuring the field and the radio emissions during the longest lunar eclipse of the 21st century. Sam?
Good. Well, so we've been using the same equipment for years now, and the list that we are giving you shows 7 different instruments, starting with the Tesla meter, tri-field meter, digital multimeter, VF broadband amplifier, and of course the oscilloscope, S-meter, and the life energy meter, which is an interesting instrument. It's heliognosis model. It's scientific instruments to measure the level of so-called orgone energy. So we've been able to compare results in the last 8-9 years. The last measurements before this one that we did was in May. So May 11th, 2:35 p.m., we've done measurements. The next measurement was done just before.
Sam, how long do these measurement periods last?
You mean during the measurements?
No. How long do you take measurements?
Well, it's usually 3 times a year.
No, I mean in terms of a session. How long is the session?
Well, the measurements usually several hours.
Yeah, that's what I've been for
3 days, and we do several measurements because we have several locations. Of course, the major is the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun, which is really the biggest, the largest pyramid on the planet in terms of the height. You know, the Great Pyramid of Egypt, almost 147 meters. Here we have more than 270 meters, so two times bigger. And in volume, it is like five times the Great Pyramid of Egypt. But also the Bosnian Pyramid of the Moon, 190 meters, also bigger than the Great Pyramid of Egypt. Then we have a total of five pyramid structures. We have tumulus complex. We do measurements also in the underground tunnels. It's a huge prehistoric labyrinth which runs for tens of miles. So usually it takes, you know, 3 to 5 days to complete all the measurements. But we, you know, do it in a very systematic way, three times a year. But results usually match, you know, when we do it in this way. So last time we did it in May, just 2 months back, and the next measurements was done 5 hours before the moon eclipse. It was exactly 5:04 p.m. on July 27th. It was like 4.5 hours before the moon eclipse. And then the next measurement was during the moon eclipse. Here in Bosnia, it started at 9:15 p.m., lasted about 1.5 hours, a little bit more.
This is totality.
Yes, the final measurement was done the next morning. It was about 8-9 hours after the moon eclipse. So we were really able to compare the results just before, just after, and 2 months back. The interesting thing is that the results from May and 4 hours before the moon eclipse match each other. So no visible changes.
Ah. Now, wait a minute. 5 hours before the eclipse, the moon moves about half a degree per hour. So that would be 2.5 degrees or five times the width of the full moon in that period of time that you were measured. It was five times further out from the shadow of the Earth than its own diameter. So that means you're getting no effects with that close a sight line. These alignments to work, which is why I really suspected this one was going to work, have to be geometrically almost right down the middle of the shadow, so you get the zero alignment, and that's when everything changes.
Exactly right. So the measurement during the moon eclipse, even though these are preliminary results, but the measurements show a significant increase in the intensity of the electric field. Why is the electric field important? Well, the previous years have shown us that through really the very top, and the measurements has been done on the very top of the Bosnian Pyramid of the Moon, it has shown that the electrical field is actually the most important aspect of the measurement. Even though we can register the ultrasound, the infrasound, and so on, but the electrical field, it seems that it moves through the top of the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun, going towards the universe, actually towards the sun during the daytime. And the frequency, 28 kilohertz. There's a frequency, but when it comes to the strength of the signal, it has shown the significant increase in the intensity of the electrical field. And on the photos, on the illustrations that I sent, that it is on the website, it is the red signal, it's the amplitude. And it was three times.
Oh my God, look at that.
Three times the increase.
Bingo.
When we compare to the signal which was registered just 4.5 hours before that. So now that was significant. And even though I'm not an engineer, my PhD is in Mayan pyramids, in sociology, in the history of civilizations. Now that was amazing, and that is extremely high effect of this astronomical event. So it seems really that our planet has such a strong connection to the cosmic bodies. And the pyramid of the sun do react to those events.
Mm.
That was the one thing. And then the next thing that the images show that the signal spectrum during the eclipse is much, much higher during the eclipse. And as you can see, that the harmonics, much more harmonics in the range that's been measured from 1 kilohertz to 62 kilohertz. So I would say, even though these are preliminary, but you know, we can see on the first few photos that we have very strong scientific arguments that the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun was much more active during this event. What does that mean? I don't know how the pyramid can respond in such a way, but it's been happening because it has been measured, meaning it's been proved. Now, the full report we should have in 1 week with all other instruments, but what we got processed is really amazing. And I must admit that you were right, that there is a huge impact. I was expecting maybe some, but not such a huge impact on the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun. And, you know, a few years back when we got the first measurements for this energy beam and then ultrasound going through this beam and so on, we concluded that probably there is some connection between our planet and all other, you know, cosmic bodies, especially the sun. Why I'm saying the sun? Because the measurements we usually do during the daytime, and we noticed that the way this energy beam goes to the direction, for example, during the noon, at the noon time, it is mostly oriented to the south. In the afternoon, southwest. In the evening, west. Meaning it follows the path.
It's following the sun.
So, yeah, because in the morning, the sun is east, noontime, south, afternoon, southwest, evening, west. What does that mean? Does it mean that somehow the pyramid communicates with the sun, using the sun as some type of the cosmic gate, and maybe through the sun with other solar systems? So we said, well, it seems that we have the base of the cosmic internet here.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the torsion field. It's what's vibrating the field that generates electromagnetism. This etheric field, the torsion field, as the Russians call it, it's the fundamental field. It's the genesis field, which was shown in Star Trek. So I figured there had to be measurable echoes going back and forth in that path length between the Bosnia Pyramid and the moon passing through the center of the shadow last night. Clyde, you've been sitting there listening. What's your reaction to the idea that what we predicted on your show last night, we find is true on my show tonight?
Well, first of all, I'm astonished and I feel a bit vindicated both for me and you. Most of the time when you explain to regular people or to some skeptics that you know that things like solar eclipses and lunar eclipses do have an effect on the planet. We knew prior to the eclipse.
And on Antarctica, consciousness, on people, on living beings.
On consciousness, yes, it affects us on a tribal level. I mean, it's something
you got
that, you know, when we were our ancestors looked up and they saw the moon darken or the sun darken, it affected them on a very, very, I guess you call it core belief level. I think it affects us in the same way, but most of the skeptics out there say that it doesn't affect anything. It doesn't affect the tides. It doesn't affect.
Do you realize that last night, given the hemisphere over which this lunar eclipse occurred, which was Africa, Asia, Europe, Russia, China, more people, more billions of people saw this with their own two eyes, not on SLU, not on the internet, not on television, but because in that part of the world, that hemisphere of the world, most people are still living agrarian country lives, and they're outside in connection with nature, and so they could not help but be exposed to this, have their attention focused on this. So imagine the tremors in the force, gentlemen, when billions of people are looking at that phenomenon in the sky and thinking, in the same direction in synchronization with billions of others looking at that thing in the sky.
Imagine, you're looking at a metaphysical domino effect.
You got it. You got it. And I wanted Sam to be able to measure the damn thing, and he did.
Yes, we're going to see. I think we're going to see effects. The effects are going to be evident probably within the next few days.
Well, my friend who I wanted to get on the show, and I was unable to reach her, Maria Wheatley in England, who's the, shall we say, alternative archaeologist who measures ancient sacred sites for energies by dowsing and other techniques. She says, and she said on a couple of shows, that the primary effects, Sam and Clyde, come after the event because they're not symmetrical in space-time. So when you do the really intensive analysis of what you saw last night, Sam, I'm also predicting you will see an asymmetry. The ingress will not look or sound the same as the exit from the eclipse. They are asymmetrical.
Well, we haven't processed the third measurement, which happened like nine hours after the moon eclipse. But
that would be so interesting.
Like I said, in a week, we're going to know the results. But Richard, you are right. This is very significant measurements. And this, and you mentioned the torsion fields or the scalar waves. You mentioned the ether. Now, this is very important because, as you know, the classical the science is talking about, you know, electromagnetism. It's talking about, let's call them Hertzian waves. They mean the radio waves. They mean infrared. They mean visible light. They mean ultraviolet, Rengen, gamma, and so on. And, you know, they can go through vacuum, they can go through free space. But electromagnetism, you know, we watch TV, we watch, you know, we listen radio, mobile phones, and we know about that. This is the classical. But now we are talking about the torsion fields. And yes, the Russian physicists, they've been working on it for 50 years now. And if we have the torsion fields, they need the media to move. And that's the ether. So now Tesla and the whole, you know, generations of independent researchers who've been talking about it, it's proved that they have been right. Because the torsion fields, of course, they can be, you know, standing fields, they can, you know, but they can also move extremely quick, not in the classical way they go from point A to point B, but they can move through the universe with the unlimited speed. So instead of the speed of light as the, you know, the biggest speed in the universe, now we are getting something different, something that can move from one end of the galaxy to another one almost instantly. And I think that this research in Bosnia will bring the whole revolution, not in archaeology, it's the old thing already, but in the physics, in the astronomy, in the way people, you know, been thinking. And, you know, I know that they've been teaching us as kids, you know, that 85% of the universe is vacuum. There is nothing there wrong. There is always something there, some electrical particles that can be used as a medium to move information, to move the energy. And
see, the one thing, Sam, that I wished I'd been able to do is to get you an accutron, because when you compare the accutron measurements, which are basically changes of inertia, mass and inertia, which is not electromagnetic. That's how we know this is variations in the underlying torsion field, because that's what changes mass and inertia, the literal constituents of space-time, the fabric, the geometry of space. So with the accutron, that's what we're measuring. What I'd like to do, now that you know this, this is real, is to get you a set, a system, so we can install it on the Bosnia Pyramid of the Sun and set it up automatically to take readings, you know, for months at a time and send them by the internet to me and to other people. And we'll just start logging statistically the cosmic variations as this pyramid is changing in relation to its cosmic brotherhood connections. I mean, this is the cosmic connection that Kepler, you know, the music of the spheres, this is what he was talking about in code.
There were so many people who talked about the music of the spheres, saying that
He was the first. Come on.
Yes. The planets would converse with one another. And if you recall, Richard, I had I presented on my program. It was, I think, a few days ago. The communication between Saturn and Enceladus.
Yes, apparently. Same thing.
Yes.
And see, the radio stuff they're picking up, like JPL has these receivers on the Galileo, and they pick up these, signals, not Galileo, but also Cassini. They're listening to the radio part of what's going on, but they're missing the underlying creation of what's going on, which is the torsion field changes. And that's Sam's fields. Pyramid. Now, there are ways to build technology to measure the torsion field. I've got one. It's called the Accutron. There are other ways to sense the torsion field, and we need to put our heads together, Sam, and think of some easy, cheap ways to do this, because we need to get a full-time health report, not just three times a year, but 24/7 automated, because this thing is breathing and vibrating and tremulousing and doing all kinds of other signaling in terms of the cosmic connection alignments.
Exactly. Now, maybe again for the listeners who haven't been listening to us before, the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun is a four-sided pyramid. Well, three sides have been preserved perfectly. The fourth one has been damaged, but still we are talking about the pyramids. The three main pyramids, Sun, Moon, Dragon, they form equilateral triangle.
Isn't that special?
Between their tops, 2,170 meters, Sun, Moon, Dragon, and back to the Sun. Of course, equilateral triangle, the perfect geometrical shape, in an angle at 60 degrees, part of the sacred geometry. Inside this triangle, another one, the top of the Love Pyramid, Temple of Mother Earth, entrance to the tunnels and the river, another triangle within a triangle, again, sacred geometry. The ancients were very smart. They knew.
Sam, it's not just any old ancient sacred geometry. In three dimensions, it's a tetrahedron, which is the key to the physics in terms of what's inscribed in planets. And the reason that the signals are going to be asymmetric going in and coming out is because the moon and the sun and the earth are rotating, and these signals come from the effects of their interaction rotations, like ripples in a ripple tank.
Yes.
What do we find with the planets in opposition to the sun? I mean, we have this whole string.
Well, I'll tell you what, hold that thought right there, and if you can hang on for like another 5 minutes, we can get to that. Because the same night that Sam is measuring the moon, remember, there's another celestial body that was hanging up there in the sky only 7 tetrahedral degrees away from the moon, the planet Mars, which last night on the 27th was in direct geometric opposition to the sun, simultaneous with the opposition of the moon, which created the conditions for the eclipse. So, I mean, you had to measure something last night, Sam, and you really lucked out. You really lucked out. Tell you what, everyone, hold it there. We're at the bottom of the hour. My guest this morning is Dr. Sam Osmanagic and Clyde Lewis, my old friend from Ground Zero. And we're talking about history. We're talking about measurements. Resonant frequency measurements made last night during the total eclipse of the moon, the longest eclipse of the 21st century, bang, right out of the box, okay? And Sam was able to measure with a range of technologies, all of which are listed on the Other Side of Midnight website. And we're going to get into what the Mars opposition might have done to the signals when we return. You're on the Other Side of Midnight. My name is Richard C. Hoagland. Don't touch that dial.
I want to talk to you in the audience around the planet tonight. I want to talk to you about the kind of meta objectives of the Enterprise mission and the Other Side of Midnight, this radio show that you're listening to right now. As you know, we have sponsored a number of important research projects for this show over the last couple, 3 years. We've raised money for electrogravitics, for M-Drive research. We're looking very hard now at this whole orgone accumulator technology. And I want to use the Accutron, this inertial sensor, which I developed following the lead of Bruce De Palma many, many decades ago, to put the Accutron in an orgone situation, in the accumulator or in an orgone blanket, these multi-layered concoctions that somehow seem to trap or densify the ether. And yes, ether is real. There is a physics of the ether. And the problem is that it all costs money. It all costs funds. So we've added a new wrinkle to the Other Side of Midnight website. Over on the left-hand side, if you go to theothersideofmidnight.com and just look over on the left, you'll see under the banners which say things like home, tonight show, there's a donate button. And there's also some donate buttons in the middle of the page if you happen to get the right show. But mainly over on the left, it says donate now. Normally, I don't like asking folks for money. But money is energy. Money is the ability in this culture to do things, to accomplish things. And as Father Tiso said a moment ago, there is a huge need and necessity for a game changer. We need to bring humanity back together to realize its commonality and not its differences. And that's in part what this show is trying to do with a variety of programs. And part of our research effort is trying to do with a variety of projects there. So if you have some spare change, if you have more than spare change, go to that button. Go to the left-hand Donate Now button and click on it and send us what you can spare, because communication in the 21st century costs. Everything costs.
And welcome back on this Saturday night, the 28th of July. My guests this morning are Dr. Sam Osmanogic and Clyde Lewis. Sam is the guy who discovered this amazing pyramid complex, this extraordinarily ancient and incredibly important pyramid complex in Bosnia. And last night, he wired the pyramid, because we know it does emit energies. And lo and behold, during the eclipse, Clyde and I were talking about on Clyde's show on Friday night before we got these results, we predicted that this should indeed, if the model of connections and eclipses, alignments, you know, tremors in the force, people feeling strange and a little bit out of, because something's happening in their consciousness field. Well, that's all kind of airy-fairy New Age talk until you get measurements. And last night, Sam got measurements. So Sam, what do you think you're going to find when you tease out in the data the companion alignment of Mars in opposition last night during the eclipse?
Well, first, I was happy to witness both events. First, the moon eclipse. We were, even though that day was cloudy and even rainy early afternoon, but by the evening it was all cleared up, so you could clearly see the moon going from its usual bright color to light brown and then to dark brown and to reddish color. So it was really amazing view. And then next to the moon, very close, was it looked like a bright star, but of course it was Mars. And I've never seen such a beautiful view of a very, very bright planet. So, I mean, just from that standpoint of view, it was amazing view, and I was happy to witness that. Now, once we analyzed all three results, just before the moon eclipse and during and after, we might learn something more about the influence of Mars. And at this point, I cannot tell you anything because we haven't done that, you know, detailed measurements. But I think that Mars had its role, of course.
Well, again, we've got numbers. And, you know, as I said, you might be able to tease the details because there should be asymmetries, because Mars was off to the side of the shadow of the Earth. So the, you know, the moon had to kind of pass through that entry point. Clyde, you were thinking of a question before we went to break.
I was just curious about that because of the fact that we had a number of people on the program after you appeared talking about the effects, what precursory effects were seen, namely the idea that two things that we can expect. One, we could probably expect some revelatory information that may jar us in a certain direction, that may change the way we perceive ourselves. And the other was perhaps a planned war that would break out within days, maybe between now and Wednesday, which was an idea that was brought about because of course the position of Mars, depending on how you see it, whether it would be retrograde or obviously in another direction, would certainly be sending out signals that would affect us again on a tribal level, on a level that would be a lot deeper than, you know, it probably in the same way it affected the Bosnian pyramid. When you're looking at ancient artifacts, you're looking at what's inside of us anciently, the very things that we've carried from generation to generation. We sense and feel that when we had in Russia, the sun turned black for 3 hours because of some explosion in the sky. We had Greece catch fire. Most of Greece burned. We have fires all over the northern part of Europe. We have all of these things that...
Well, look at what's going on in California. That's our lead story on Radio with Pictures.
Yeah.
Now, I look at the synchronicity of all these things as not disconnected, but part of the same rise of the background physics, which, like this Mercury retrograde, which we're now entering into, we now know from measurements that the geometry of two planets hanging in the sky relative to each other, you know, two nights ago, had a measurable, amazing 3 times change in the dynamics, the energy dynamics of that huge pyramid there in Bosnia. Standard theory says this is impossible. Standard physics says nothing like this should be measured or measurable. But Sam, you're sitting on a powder keg because you're number one on the runway, quoting Aldrin. This is amazing fundamental science that these ancient structures were designed and built for manipulation and use of these invisible torsion field enhanced energies.
And imagine if you were able to do same measurements on the top of the Giza pyramids, Teotihuacan, Palenque, Koh Ker in Cambodia, Shanxi pyramids in China, Peruvian pyramids, and so on. That would be, I think, amazing. And then we would see how many pyramids are still active, how they react, So I think that hopefully in the future, once the science really opens up, we should be able to measure that, because unfortunately at this point archaeologists do not want physicists or electrical engineers or sound engineers on their pyramids. But of course the purpose is not to have them as a burial place for the pharaohs or kings, but to have very active energy machines. You know, for those who don't know, the major measurements that we've done on the top of the Bosnian pyramids, first in the area of the electromagnetism, and we were looking for the source of electromagnetic radiations. And then based on the frequencies that we are getting, 28 kilohertz, the three institutes confirmed that the source has to be 2,440 meters either above or below the zone of measuring. Of course, above, you should be able to see some type of huge iron plate or whatever. It's not there, so it has to be below the ground. And the next thing, the ultrasound, we measured two lower frequencies, 9.3 hertz, the next one 18.8 hertz, the central is between 28.3 and 28.4, the next one 37.8, higher 47.2. So the distance among peaks are 9.4 hertz. So, you know, once you have such a perfectly regular distances, you have to have an artificial source. Now, what we can see, you know, of course, you have electromagnetism, and during our archaeological digging, we've been finding so much quartz crystal on top of the pyramid, on the sides of the pyramids, inside the concrete. You can see in the cracks in the concrete blocks, we can find the pieces of quartz crystal. We are finding it in the underground tunnels. So, of course, electromagnetism hitting the quartz crystal, piezoelectric effect, you have mechanical waves, or in our case, ultrasound. So the ancients were so smart, they were using all these natural elements. They were probably adding some. They placed the pyramids above underground water flows. You know, water moves, releases negative ions. We have water flows under the ground, not only on one, but on several levels, meaning between the water flows, electricity is being generated. We measure more stuff like argon energy. Argon energy, ability to receive electromagnetism. Argon energy in the contaminated cities, 25-30% on the scale 1 to 100. In the villages, 60. On the Bosnian pyramids and in the Bosnian pyramid tunnels, 100%.
Well, it had to be. Has to be.
Yes. So, I mean, the ancients were smart. They used everything they could find.
See, I think, Sam, this is where you're getting your healing. And I want to talk about it in the next when we get to the top of the hour, we'll take, you know, Clyde will leave us, and you and I can talk about healing and, you know, anecdotal stories and how to do studies and all that, because there's a real reason why this is so exciting. This is a technology that we need to bring back, that we need to reinvent, we need to rediscover, because it was built at a time when a lot of people needed the torsion field of Earth raised, either in frequency or amplitude or both. And that's why they built this huge pyramid with a whole bunch of structures around it as a sacred ceremonial place where people could come and have their fields recharged.
Exactly. The nice thing about it is everything is measurable, and we can see that the pyramid complex works on several levels. Now, of course, with the torsion fields, with the scalar waves, with the Tesla scalar waves, the communication device is, of course, the first one. But the communication on the vast distances, we are talking, you know, within the galaxy or even between the galaxies. But then the good thing is this energy field has been generated as so beneficial to human health. So beneficial because they improve the molecular structure of the water, food, our auric field. They bring our chakras back to balance and so on. The ancients were smart. They were not thinking, you know, 2D or 3D. I mean, and,
but,
you know.
But see, last night, if we can go by your measurements, a kind of cruel rule of thumb. Last night during the maximum eclipse, if people had been inside or on the pyramid, they would have been exposed to a 3 times higher positive field because it was amplifying the energy from the alignment of the Earth and Moon and Sun, which is what it was designed, Sam, 30-some thousand years ago to do.
Yes, yes.
They're meant to hum like a tuning fork.
Exactly, because it's all ultimately about frequencies. I know, Clyde, you got to go in a few minutes here. Anything more you want to ask Sam?
Simply that it will be nice to watch the progress. It would be nice to also determine precursory investigations into the neutrinos that were activated in Antarctica prior to the eclipse. I was reading about that the other day, sending out its own fast radio burst, sending 7,000, they can't even keep up with the neutrinos that were sending out messages.
See, I have a feeling, Clyde, that what we're calling neutrinos, and Sam, I don't know if you agree with me, is really a misnomer for tremors in the torsion field.
I wouldn't doubt that. I would say, yes, I would agree, because where the torsion field is life. Life comes from the torsion field.
You have to model these detectors. Your detector says, bingo, I've got something. It's your mathematical model, your conceptual model, your brain picture that tells you, informs you what the thing you detected might be, but it doesn't come with a label. So what they've been calling neutrinos for decades, I've come to believe, given that I see an inverse correlation in the sun of the emission of neutrinos with the hyperdimensional solar cycle, I think neutrinos are variations in the torsion field, and they're interpreted as a particle. But remember, they have no mass.
The universe is speaking to us. And
literally.
Yeah, it's not.
Okay. Okay. I want you here for my surprise for Sam. Sam, your next mission, should you choose to accept it, is to do the same measurements on August 11th during the total solar eclipse that's going to occur over Eastern Asia. You should be able to monitor the ringing of the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun and the other guys, if you could, you know, wire them, at the same level, if not more so, because the geometry of the solar eclipse is reversed. What we were getting, what you were getting last night, Sam, I think is a kind of a hyperdimensional echo, because the real alignment is sun, earth, moon. So if you were doing your measurements on the moon, you would have seen incredible pyrotechnics in the displays. The fact that you saw it on the night side of the earth with a reflected energy information from the moon in alignment, where the energy goes out and doesn't come back in, tells me one of the things I was really hoping for is that the moon is resonantly capable of returning, like an old EM sign, some of the signal back to Earth in that alignment. Whereas on August 11th, we're going to have a direct shot solar eclipse occurring, you know, a couple thousand miles to the east of you. And you should see that pyramid light up like a neon sign if you get the measurements down correctly beforehand.
I see. Well, I'll try to do it first one day before.
Exactly.
Few hours before, during, and then one day after. So we can figure out the effects, you know, just before and just after. But I'm glad that you told me that. I'll be planning on doing that. Yes. Now when I saw the first results, obviously.
See, now when Richard says measure, you're not going to say how high.
Okay. Yeah, they are very significant, obviously. So whatever is happening.
Oh, this should be amazingly cool.
Yeah, whatever is happening around us. Yes.
And you will see the geometry, the asymmetry in the geometry, extremely well in the direct mode, which is a solar eclipse. So God, that we had instruments on the moon to measure last night on the moon.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That would have been amazing to figure out how that affected the torsion field, how it felt, affected the electrical field around the entire planet. But you will be able to see how it affected the fields that we all carry, that you will see how people react and what their reactions will be and what actions will be taken in some of the power centers of the world. And I would say, you know, be a watchdog, be a storm crow. Watch this all take place, and you'll see that, yes, that this whole, what you came up with, Richard, and what was finally discovered, this whole thing is going to affect us in such a way that people will wake up and realize that, yes, the universe is speaking to us.
See, this is how, and I need to get my old friend Rick Lewis on, this is how the torsion field is speaking to us. This is hyperdimensional astrology. This is why alignments, where the sun is at your birth, where the planets are, it's not meaningless, unscientific nonsense. Science, up until now, has not had the technology to measure where the signal is. And that's why Sam's measurements last night are so important, because that shows us if you measure in the right part of the multiple spectrums, you get results.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Amazing.
I told you. And your audience.
Yes, and I think that it's amazing that you were able to be on that and you were able to reveal it. And I think that everybody is noticing it did spark a lot of talk, a lot of discussion. And I think this needs to be had. I think this dialogue we're having now is very important. I mean, nobody has these.
Okay, when Sam is done with When Sam is done with his report, you know, this preliminary, I would suggest, as your, you know, unofficial program director, that you have him and me come back for like half an hour or so and give people a report on what this means and its significance for the next data point, which is the August 11th solar eclipse measurements.
That'd be interesting.
What was that?
We could do another show sometimes in August with the boat reports.
Exactly.
full report on moon, and then full report on solar sometime, like mid of August or something like that.
See, I'm wondering. Go ahead, Clyde.
I said that would be the perfect time, I believe, that after August the 11th, we could come back and talk about this, and we could hear the results of the solar eclipse. You brought up something very interesting, Richard, and that is that I never really this didn't even come to my mind that, yes, this eclipse that just happened affected more people on the planet than the last tetrad moon sequence that we had. And so I would say that, yes, this is very important because of how it affects the other side of the globe, rather than the globe that we're always focusing on, the America-centric side of all things.
Mm-hmm. And if you're going to change the planetary consciousness field and get better outcomes than we've been getting, you need other people in the conversation who are not sullied and hypocritical and cynical and so down on life because they're so mashed down by life that they're living that they can't see the stars.
Mm-hmm. They need to see the stars because they're speaking to us.
Yes. Okay, gentlemen, we got a few minutes left in this half hour. Clyde, if you could do anything, have you ever been to Bosnia?
No, I've never been to Bosnia.
Sam, I think he needs an invite.
Both of you. I mean, we're still expecting you, Richard. And
I know. I'm working on it.
It was the best time. You will be my guest here, of course. And
I'd love to do it this fall, but as you know, on our conversations, there's a couple of impediments I'm working around.
Right.
One of the things that's really a tragedy is, and the reason I couldn't send you an Accutron to do the measurements this yesterday is because mine broke. I stupidly, after the eclipse of last August here on Sandia Peak, I dropped the damn thing on the floor, and we haven't literally been able to afford to replace it. That's how tight the finances are. So, folks, if you want to do something for God, country, and science, donate a few shekels to the Enterprise mission. Go to the donate button there, connecting the other side of midnight with Enterprise, and give us a few dollars to work with to get new equipment so we can wire the Bosnia pyramid, hopefully in time for the August 11th eclipse, with the Accutron as well, so that we get simultaneous readings in multiple wave bands to show us what this thing is responding to in terms of cosmic information.
Mm-hmm. Because we need both conventional instruments and alternative. But the nice thing is with the conventional instruments, you can even measure the stuff that could not be expected, totally, alternative stuff like torsion fields, because they do show, even if it is anomaly, they do show. That's nice stuff. And imagine if we can have a wider range of instrumentation in our case. So we could be getting all kinds of results.
So how are you going to describe this next week, Clyde?
Well, I would just describe it as that, there's something big coming down that we need to discover and talk about. I think after this major solar eclipse that's happening in Asia, I think this will be the confirmation we're looking for. We're still looking at the remaining alignments and oppositions that are, we're slowly pulling away from them, but still we're looking at many other effects. I would like to investigate more what is being seen in Antarctica. I'd like to investigate more the so-called eddies that are now being seen, that scientists in Switzerland are saying that they can compare them to black holes. And there's also a report that came out of north of Las Vegas that there was an investigator that found that there was a 20 millisecond differential that happened just north of Las Vegas, and he said the time slowed down.
Oh, I saw that area. As a brief blip on the news, and of course the mainstream mangled the story totally.
Yeah.
But it sounded to me he was measuring some kind of torsion effect.
Yes, and that's the thing, is that it just seems to me that lately there's been a lot of talk about torsion effects, a lot of talk about the magnetic field, its strength, its ability to shift, also something known as quantum tunneling, where you go to these quark cannons in Geneva and you're firing them off from the Large Hadron Collider, the quark cannon there they have, And you're seeing that one of the things that they're attempting is something called quantum tunneling, where they just go and they're able to open up the conduit with an Einstein-Rosen bridge. And there they'll be able to, and from what I understand, they're focusing their attention on Saturn. So it does make sense that Cassini was able to pick up signals from Saturn, speaking to Enceladus, then back to from Enceladus to Saturn. And I'm sure they'll be able to pick up what these sounds coming from Antarctica are, and we'll be able to figure out just what the torsion field is speaking to us. And it's speaking to us on an ancient level. That's the thing that's most important. It's a very, very fundamental level. The Earth is like a huge tuning fork, and we're the ones receiving the information. Now, how
just think about, as I said a moment ago, think about the literally billions of people on the night side of the world, on that slice of the planetary hemisphere, most of whom still don't live in cities, so they could see this phenomenon unfold. And they're all focused simultaneously on that lunar eclipse. What did that do in terms of resonance in the field, synchronizing billions of consciousnesses in terms of some of these consciousness experiments that Arkbell used to do? And I've done a couple, and George Norrie has done some. And I mean, there's something real, really here. And that's why having Sam be able to measure it is so important.
We will see next week. I'm sure next week we will see just how it affected everybody on that side of the globe.
I wonder what we will see in terms of news. Something coming out of Africa, maybe. Something coming out of the Far East. You know that North Korea was easily visible from the moon and vice versa during the eclipse. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be interesting if Kim Jong-un had an accelerated change of heart? Think about it. If you have all these billions of people wishing the best outcome for their futures, what if that's how it manifests? Or something of, maybe, go ahead.
From what I'm gathering, I'm getting this vibe that it seems to be affecting people on a spiritual and religious level more so than any other level I've seen. I mean, I remember when the blood moons arrived, and people were talking about all this apocalyptic stuff, but nothing really synchronized. But these past few weeks, there have been a lot of catastrophic synchronizations.
Oh my God,
taking
yes.
place. A catastrophic model that seems to be in effect now.
When you say catastrophic model, you only got about 45 seconds here. What do you mean? You mean real catastrophe
Well, it's the catastrophic model, meaning that we have catastrophe after catastrophe, catastrophe after catastrophe with no explanation. And the only explanation that I can go on is what you were talking about on my show last night. And that it just seemed to all come together. And you were saying, if we get this measurement, then we know for a fact that we just don't have the precursory. We don't have the weeks before, but we do have days. We have time before. But now we'll be able to quantify this and investigate it thoroughly during this next eclipse. And I think it'll be fascinating to see the results.
Yep. And we will let you know. Okay, guys, look, we're at the top of the hour. I want to thank Clyde Lewis, who's been my impromptu eyewitness to history here. I hope you are suitably impressed. Science is nothing if it's not prediction, and you got some really interesting science predicted here. Sam, you hold it right there. We're on the other side of midnight. My name is Richard C. Hoagland, and we shall return. The singing of the spheres. Detected by a massive pyramid in Bosnia. Who would have thunk it? Ain't science wonderful? Thanks for listening to this exciting first hour. Now, the second and third hour of the show is available to Club 19.5 members only. Please support the show by subscribing to Club 19.5 and join our very interesting community. To do that, please visit the website, theothersideofmidnight.com, and click on the Join Club 19.5 link in the left-hand column. As a Club 19.5 member, you'll gain access to the rest of this show and all previous 350-plus shows that we have done. Now, recent Club 19.5 member archive recording have the commercials removed, and the sound quality has been enhanced. You'll also receive a dedicated private podcast feed that contains these enhanced show recordings. And you'll be able to download the MP3 files directly from the archive if you prefer. As a Club 19.5 member, you'll have access to a private chat server that members use to chat about the show during the show, and you will have a direct channel to post a question that will be read on the air to the guest. And you'll have a place to post questions during our open hailing frequencies. We realize that not everyone wants to call in live, and this gives you an easy way to participate in a live show without having to participate. Club 19.5 members can use this private chat to talk about the shows, ask questions, suggest new guests, and I may even pop on from time to time to answer specific questions. Also, the entire Bridge crew is in these participating chat channels, so you can interact with them as well. You'll also be the first to preview our new videos and reports. We'll be adding exclusive new features to Club 19.5 as we go forward, and boy, have we got some amazing things to tell you about in the coming weeks. So please support the show and don't miss all the exciting new things we have planned. I want to thank all our Club 19.5 members because without your guys' support, this show would not be on the air. Please help us continue growing the show by subscribing to Club 19.5 today. And when I say we really need you, we really need you. Over and out. Thank you.